Every adult here will have experienced enough of life to know that we can never fully understand everything that happens, every circumstance and every happening, or indeed every feeling. We can never get to that point where we can fully understand all of them. And even as you open your Bible, there are many things to which our attention is drawn. And no matter how often you look at those things and you study them, we can never wholly understand exactly what it is that we're reading. There are many things indeed in God's Word that we cannot fully understand. And we meet with such a thing when we read verse 7 of Philippians chapter 4. For it says there, the peace of God which passeth all understanding. This really means that we cannot fully describe it. No preacher can do that. Some have said that unsaved people cannot understand the peace that the Christian has. And in many ways that is true. But you know, for God's people tonight, there are many things we can't fully understand either. And the full meaning of this verse is something to which we could never really get to the bottom of. But I want to say this to you tonight. This peace which passeth all understanding, while it is something which you will never fully comprehend, you can have it. You can have this peace which passeth all understanding. Now the Apostle Paul, who wrote those words, had often in his travels experienced great blessing. But he had also known what it was to be totally rejected. He had suffered literal shipwrecks. He had known disappointment after disappointment. He'd been cast into the darkest and the most inhospitable dungeons. People that he depended upon had turned their back upon him. And through all of these things, he recognized that God's people sometimes could get really, really anxious. And I'm sure you can understand exactly what I'm saying here tonight. And that is why he writes here at the beginning of verse 6, be careful for nothing. The word careful means be over anxious for nothing. If you've ever got to that point, I would like to talk to you, because I would like to be at the point where I'm over anxious for nothing. Because the truth tonight is, I believe, that we all get over anxious many times. He's telling the people here, be over anxious for nothing. And he goes on ahead in our text to say, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding. You can spend from now to the day you go to be with the Lord studying this text. You will never fully understand it. But he's saying you can have it. You can have this peace. I spoke to a man one time after a meeting in County Tyrone, and a young man, and talked for quite a long time. And at the bottom of this problem, I believe there was anxiety. And he did not have the peace that he wanted to have. And I hope that while we talked with him, we were able to point him in the right direction. And I don't know all of your circumstances tonight. Just as I can put on any front to you, and we're a fairly small congregation, we see each other fairly often, and we get used to seeing each other as we are, and I could put on any front to you, but things could be very different behind the scenes. And so it could be with you as members of the congregation. You may not be enjoying peace at this time. Perhaps there's trouble in your heart and your soul that you haven't even been able to share with your nearest and dearest. Well, here's a verse for you tonight. The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The title of my sermon tonight is The Value of True Peace. The value of true peace. I want you to notice, first of all, as we consider the value of this true peace, I want you to notice that it is unique because it is the peace of God. It is impossible for preachers to describe in full the peace that a Christian may have. I've already said that, and in a sense we're covering old ground. But the best that we can say tonight is this, that the peace that we're looking at in this verse is perfect. It's perfect peace. Now, in the book of Isaiah, God is addressing his own people. And if you were to turn with me, please, to Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66. Some of you will be aware that this passage is about Jerusalem. And verse 11 and so on show about God's goodness to her. But in verse 12 it says, "For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, ye shall be borne upon her sides, and be dandled upon her knees." Please read that verse in the context, and you will see that this peace is just not just something that gives you a little time of no worry. It's far more than that. This peace is something which sustains you and strengthens you and encourages you and meets your every need. Read verse 11 and the other verses in around that verse 12. And you'll see that God here, in speaking to his own people, is saying that this peace, this real peace, well, it's like a river. In other words, there seems to be an endless supply of it available. Well, there in the New Testament, in the book of Romans, chapter 15, it says there in Romans 15, verse 13, it says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Again, if you want to take time to look at that verse in the context, you will see that it backs up what we've already read in Isaiah chapter 66. This peace is something that is always available. It is something which, humanly speaking, is immeasurable. It is excellent peace. In Psalm 119, we read of it as great peace. But what does it mean to be a partaker of this peace? How do you know that you've got it? Well, the Christian has it. Certainly he has it within him. And the first thing I want to say here as we consider this unique peace that is a peace of God, that enmity is gone. Enmity is gone that used to be there between you and the Lord. There was that time, and I'm speaking just at this moment to save people, there was that time when you were against God and against his word. And in a very real way, you were against his people and against the preaching of his word because you had no part in it. And our sins, when we were in that situation, our sins demanded his anger. We slighted his grace. I wonder, do you ever think about that unconverted person? That you're slighting the grace of God? I did it for far too long. There are many others in this meeting who can identify with me tonight. But we're not there now because the enmity has gone. But we slighted his grace. We demanded his anger. And by our lives, we cried out for punishment. And that is an awful thought for many men and women in Ulster tonight. By our lives, or by their lives, they're crying out for the judgment of God. An awful situation to be in. But the Lord Jesus Christ came to the darkness of the cross. And the indignation, the righteous indignation of a holy God was appeased. And the Bible tells us that he made peace through the blood of his cross. Peace that would be found nowhere else. And when men and women become conscious of guilt, when they come to that point where they realize that they're exposed to all the wrath of God that they deserve, when they're really honest with themselves and say, "There's no way that I can justify myself," and their soul begins to become agitated, and God the Holy Spirit is taking a dealing with them, and at the end of all of that, they call upon God for mercy. They seek him for mercy, and evangelical faith and repentance is granted. It's a guarantee of God's word. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It is then that there is peace between God and man. Romans 5 and verse 1, a verse that sometimes we've shown to people who've just got saved, therefore being justified by grace, by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So this peace that we cannot fully understand tonight, it is unique because it is the peace of God. And one thing about it is, Christian, and always remember this, the old enmity is gone. It's gone. And when that enmity is gone, we're moving on now to our second thought here. There is a settledness within the Christian. There has been made that change in our hearts and lives. When we were in our sin, we were like a troubled sea. You may have been on the clean side of the broad road, but you were in the broad road nonetheless. And there's no peace there. Some may say, well, there's peace enough. Well, there's a comfort zone. But there's no real peace. And people can cry peace, peace when there's no peace. And there's nothing but a troubled sea experience. But there is peace where there once was turmoil for those who have come to the Lord. A calmness in our hearts that Christ brings when he comes in. Do you remember the writings over there in John's Gospel, chapter 14, where the Saviour himself was talking to his people? He said in verse 27, he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. That's the comfort zone. Clean side of the broad road nonetheless. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Men's hearts are petrified. And they do all kinds of things to try to deal with it. And the root problem is their sin. They are those who are all their lifetime subject to bondage, subject to fear because of the bondage of sin. But the Christian has a settledness in his heart when he knows that all is well. It's a deep-seated peace. Once I was speaking to a man at a car showroom, and he said to me, in fact he owned it, and he said to me, you know, he said that he noticed the Bible in the side of the car and began to talk about it in the side pocket the car was in. And he said, you know, people don't look upon people in my trade, that is in the car trade. He says, they don't look upon us as very Christian. He says, but, he says, and I've had many failures in my life. He says, but I can remember as a boy of 16 coming as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, I got a peace then. And he says, through all the ups and downs of my life, it has never left me. It has never left me. It's a settled peace. It's a settled peace that comes because the enmity is gone. We can also say that this peace is a peace that does not depend upon circumstances. The disciples loved walking with the Lord and talking with him at his side. Sometimes they still thought strange things among themselves that are exposed in God's word for our learning, of course. We noted one of those things this morning, that they were tending to dispute among themselves who would be the greatest. But they walked by his side generally, but were never away from him. When they were away from him, they were just like you and I, and they tended to get their eyes fully focused, for all they were worth, upon their circumstances. You remember the time out in the storm, when they were petrified, they were at wit's end corner, as we would say, and they didn't know where the Lord was. It was dark at that time, and the Bible says that the Lord saw them in the darkness. Do you ever think of that? Middle of the night, but he saw them. He knew exactly how it was with them. And he was able to give them peace in the midst of the storm. It was one of the Puritan writers said this, and how true it is. He said that peace comes not from the absence of trouble, but it comes from the presence of God in the midst of trouble. Peace comes not from the absence of trouble, but from the presence of God in the midst of your trouble. Now stop for just a wee moment tonight and be honest with yourself and with the Lord. Do you know this peace? Do you have this peace? Do you have this peace which has done away and which comes with after the enmity between you and God has been dealt with? Can you honestly say tonight that you know this unique peace of God? And you have it settled in your heart. You know you are the Lord's. And you know that while circumstances around you may not always please you, that that settled peace does not depend upon circumstances. It's priceless. the value of true peace. We move on to another thought here, not only the uniqueness of this peace, but I want to say, secondly, that this peace has everyday benefits. It has everyday benefits. And that's important for us as we're out and about. Look at verse 7 again. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. That is what peace does for us. It keeps our hearts and minds. Now, the word keep there, you will notice that word keep in verse 7. It is used in three other places in the New Testament. Now, I don't really feel that I've time to do this justice tonight, but you could turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 32. You will see that the word associated, or that is translated there, from the same word, means to garrison something. As an army would, in any given situation, seek to garrison their fort about, and that would mean that they were hedging it about, that they were protecting it, that they were keeping it safe. And that is the thought over there in 2 Corinthians. I think even though our time's going on, it would be worth turning to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 32. 2 Corinthians Yes. In Damascus, the governor on the Areopagus, the king kept the city of Damascus with a garrison. Do you see the word kept there? It literally means that he garrisoned the city of Damascus with a garrison. And that is the same word that is used to describe the peace that you have. And over there in Galatians 3 and verse 23, the word is translated, I'll turn to it again for you, it's Galatians 3 verse 23. It says, but before faith came, we were kept under the law. The word there is, literally means to be in protected custody. To be in protected custody. And in 1 Peter 1 and verse 5, the word means a fortress. So I trust as you consider that tonight, to be in protected custody, to be garrisoned about, to be in a fortress, those are all the thoughts that come to your mind when you think of this peace which keeps our hearts and minds. You're in good ground tonight, Christian. Doesn't matter what the world thinks or says, but our point here is that this peace has everyday benefits in that it keeps our hearts and minds. We have to say tonight that our hearts need to be kept. When you look in the Bible and you read in the book of Proverbs, it tells us there, I think it's chapter 4, to keep our hearts. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And the verses around that particular verse in chapter 4 in the book of Proverbs speak to us about where we go, how we see things, how we hear things. In other words, it points us to all the affections and all the passions that can be found with humankind. It refers to the inner man. And how the inner man needs to be kept. You see, the heart is the most important part, and it must be kept. We've been looking on some Tuesday nights at Christian armour in our prayer meeting and emphasising the importance of protection. There's no part more important to be protected with armour than your heart. Because it is that very part that Satan will attack. He will make it the object of abuse and of pressure and of temptation in a way that you will never have thought of until you become a Christian. And he will come along and he will accuse you. And he will come along and he will cast all kinds of things up to you. Do you remember in Genesis chapter 15 where Abram was going out? The Lord said to Abram, I am thy shield. I am thy shield. And how the men and women tonight need the Lord as their shield. And he will come along and he will instill doubt, that is, the devil will. And dark clouds of doubt will come, and then the devil will come and he'll distract you more and more, and he'll divide your attention, and he'll try in the most subtle ways to get you to that point where you're a defeated man or a defeated woman. But you have a peace tonight. A peace that has an everyday relevance, because as we tried to emphasise as briefly as we could here at the start, it says there, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep, shall garrison about, shall treat like a fortress. shall keep safe, shall protect, and all of those things, thoughts come into her mind. The devil will come again and he will seek to instill wrong ambition into your heart. Those things which will bring trouble and heartache to your life. They take away your joy. They bring great discontentment and disappointment to you. But God's peace can protect the child of God from these things. Whenever you are born again, you are given a sensitive nature because you have a new nature. You're now a child of God. And perhaps that is why we're sometimes easily offended. Any of us could be easily offended, and we have that sensitive nature. Well, the devil will come and he'll capitalize upon that and he'll try to wreak havoc in your life. But how important it is that God's people remember that this peace which they have, that which garrisons their heart about, is something that will stand the test of time. Someone rightly said that with many problems, the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. And as you're out and about tomorrow, you're out and about this incoming week, isn't it good to know that you have this peace which can keep your heart? Let me tell you, unsaved person, if you do not know the Lord tonight, then you're wide open to everything. You could end up doing things that you never in your wildest dreams thought that you were capable of, because the sin question hasn't been dealt with. But if you're the Lord's tonight, and in spite of your struggles tonight, you can know what it is to have your heart kept. It also shows us there that not only will our hearts be kept, but it refers to our minds. If you turn with me, please, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 26. Isaiah 26. It says in verse 3, it's a well-known verse, "I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." How often this peace that I'm talking about can be lost because of unsettled thoughts. How often we don't enjoy it as we might because the calm is gone. Well, the secret is found in verse 7, our text tonight. It says, "We'll keep him in perfect peace, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You see, it's not in your own making. It's not even in your own sustaining, but rather it is by continually looking to him and through communion with him continually. Take him away and your peace will shrivel up. Do you remember that important teaching of the Lord over there in John chapter 15? He said, "Without me you can do nothing." He gives us the words about, "I am the vine and ye are the branches." And how important it is in everyday experience that we know this peace. I trust you'll know it this week. Christian, keeping your heart, keeping your mind, keeping you unspotted from the world, enabling you to live for the Lord, giving you encouragement in a world of darkness and sin, and a world that's ripening for the judgment, indeed for the judgment of God. But notice a final thought here regarding this peace. Notice this, that this peace is something that doesn't age. It doesn't age. Seems now that more and more we tend to be changing things more regularly. Years and years ago, people used to buy a car, perhaps, and it didn't for many years. I knew a man who had a wee Audi, and he kept it for 14 years. Not many people do that today, but we're living in a day when things seem to age, or they seem to date more quickly than they used to because of changing fashions. Let's say, for instance, the kitchen in a house. Sometimes kitchens were built and they stayed in that house indefinitely. But now, after a few years, there are new designs come out and people tend to think, well, my kitchen's getting a wee bit dated on it. We're living in a time when things seem to age more quickly. But you know, this peace, it never ages. It never changes. If you come to the Lord Jesus Christ when you were a young man or a young woman or perhaps a boy or a girl, and now you're a lot older than that, you still have it. It hasn't changed. You still need it, because circumstances around you haven't changed. And it's good to know tonight that not only is this peace something we can have that will benefit us in everyday life, but it is something that will never age. And I must draw our message to a close tonight as I turn to the passage again. You will notice that Paul here, he gives to the people at Philippi some important exhortations on how they can cultivate this peace and what their responsibility is regarding this peace. Now, I talk to Christians tonight and I hope that you're enjoying this peace. Peace that doesn't depend upon what's happening in Northern Ireland or out in the world far, far away. But peace that is not totally explainable, but very havable. You have it tonight. Look what he says there in verse 1. The first word he uses is the word rejoice. Verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Non-rejoicing soon forgets the goodness of God. And you know, brothers and sisters, when we stop rejoicing and forget the goodness of God, then all kinds of thoughts come in. And the peace is shriveling up, as we said. And it's not what we used to be, and we're starting to look around us, and we're starting to doubt this and become skeptical about something else. But Paul says, rejoice. How important it is that God's people keep on rejoicing. There's no better place for rejoicing than being out among God's people. But look as well there in verse 5. You will see that he exhorts them to restrain. It says there, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. The word moderation means sweet reasonableness. The next time me and you are arguing with each other, we'll try to remember that word of moderation. Sweet reasonableness. I always remembered in our house, I don't know if my wife does or not. I'm sure she does. Sweet reasonableness. It's a very, very important thought, brethren and sisters. It really means gentleness. Something which is the absolute opposite of self-will. Look at verse 2. It says, I beseech Eutychus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. These people at that time were full of self-will. But the Lord says here, let your moderation, let your sweet reasonableness be known unto all men. In other words, restrain yourself. Restrain yourself. And if you don't, your peace will start to drift. So there is rejoicing, there is restraining. But if you look at verse 6, we have the thought of relieving. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You cannot enjoy this peace as you might unless you're relieved of your burdens. People have plenty of burdens these days. Burdens regarding their employment. Burdens regarding their children and their future. What does this world hold for them? Burdens regarding God's work and those that they're trying to reach. Burdens regarding loved ones that they're praying for a long time. Well, you cannot know this peace, Paul is saying here, certainly as you might know it, unless you bring it to the Lord, bring your burdens to the Lord in prayer. Again, verse 6, be over anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, that your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. Doesn't the hymn say, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. You know, thankfulness is a great promoter of peace. Thankfulness to the Lord for all that he has done. And I do thank you for listening tonight, and we wonder, do you really know this peace? Do you know the value of true peace? This unique peace, because it is the peace of God. This peace which has everyday benefits for us because it keeps our hearts and minds as we're out and about. And this peace that never ages. You can have that peace tonight, and trust if you don't have it, that you will leave the building with it tonight, that you will come and call upon the Lord while he is near at this time.